Well, a very, very warm welcome to St. Margaret's this morning, and particularly to those who are watching or listening online. Just to remind you that at the end of the service, don't go rushing away, because we're having a photograph outside the church, partly so that we can put it out, and I'll be in the photograph, so you don't forget what I look like, okay? So I know how it is. 2 weeks after I've gone, you'll be thinking, Mike, who? And Adrian and the family are organising that, and I gather there's a drone as well, so it's all very high tech. Also, Sylvia Harris, still in Stoke Mandeville Hospital, and they're just struggling to balance all the painkillers at the moment and all the rest of it. So I spoke to her daughter yesterday, and she's asked that if anybody does want to go and visit, then to check with her daughter first before you go. So please, if you could do that, and please do remember her in your prayers as well. And also, I gather there's some kind of do in the village hall at 1 o'clock today. Don't know what it's about, but something going on there. Let's just bow our heads to pray. Father, we get used to the thought that you love us. And because we just remember that every week. But Lord, it's an extraordinary thought. So Father, would you touch our hearts afresh with the enormity of that thought, that we are able to come and worship you entirely through your grace and your mercy. So Father, would you accept the praises and the prayers of your people this morning, and may they be pleasing to you through Jesus Christ our Lord.
Amen.
Amen. And our first hymn, Hallelujah, Sing to Jesus. His the glory, His the throne. Number 153, and we stand to sing.
Is the throne.
We've gathered together this morning in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ be with you.
And also with you.
So we sit or kneel to pray. Let us pray. So we say together, Almighty God, to whom all hearts are open, all desires known, and from whom no secrets are hidden, cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name. Through Christ our Lord. Amen. Our Lord Jesus Christ said, the first commandment is this, Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is the only Lord. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. The second is this, to love your neighbor as yourself. There is no other commandment greater than these, for on these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. Amen. Lord have mercy. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, Jesus Christ, to save us from our sins, to be our advocate in heaven, and to bring us to eternal life. So let us confess our sins in penitence and faith, firmly resolved to keep God's commandments and to live in love and peace with all. We say together, Almighty God, our Heavenly Father, we have sinned against you and against our neighbour in thought and word and deed, through negligence, through weakness, through our own deliberate fault. We are truly sorry and repent of all our sins. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, who died for us, forgive us all that is past and grant that we may serve you in newness of life to the glory of your name. Amen. So, Almighty God, who forgives all who truly repent, have mercy upon you, pardon and deliver you from all your sins, confirm and strengthen you in all goodness, and keep you in life eternal through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. And the collect for today. God, our Redeemer, you have delivered us from the power of darkness and brought us into the kingdom of your Son. Grant that as by his death he has recalled us to life, so by his continual presence in us he may raise us to eternal joy. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who is alive and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. So please be seated as Jean and Marie come with our readings.
The first reading is taken from the Acts of the Apostles, chapter 16, beginning to read at verse 9, and it's headed Lydia's conversion in Philippi. During the night, Paul had a vision of a man of Macedonia standing and begging him, "Come over to Macedonia and help us." After Paul had seen the vision, we got ready at once to leave for Macedonia, concluding that God had called us to preach the gospel to them. From Troas, we put out to sea and sailed straight for Samothrace. And the next day, we went on to Neapolis. From there, we travelled to Philippi, a Roman colony and the leading city of that district of Macedonia. And we stayed there several days. On the Sabbath, we went outside the city gate to the river, where we expected to find a place of prayer. We sat down and began to speak to the women who had gathered there. One of those listening was a woman from the city of Thyatira named Lydia, a dealer in purple cloth. She was a worshipper of God. The Lord opened her heart to respond to Paul's message. When she and members of her household were baptized, She invited us to her home. "If you consider me a believer in the Lord," she said, "come and stay at my house." And she persuaded us. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
The second reading is taken from the book of Revelation, chapter 21, beginning to read at verse 22. "I didn't see a temple in the city, because the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are its temple. The city does not need the sun or the moon to shine on it, for the glory of God gives it light, and the Lamb is its lamp. The nations will walk by its light, and the kings of the earth will bring their splendor into it. On no day will its gates be ever shut, for there will be no night there. The glory and honor of the nations will be brought into it. Nothing impure will ever enter it, nor will anyone who does what is shameful or deceitful, but only those whose names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Then the angel showed me the river of the water of life, as clear as crystal, flowing from the throne of God and the Lamb down the middle of the great street of the city. On each side of the river stood the tree of life, bearing 12 crops of fruit, yielding its fruit every month. And the leaves of the tree are for the healing of the nations. No longer will there be any curse. The throne of God and the Lamb will be in the city, and his servants will serve him. They'll see his face, and his name will be on their foreheads. There'll be no more night. There will not be need for a light of a lamp or the light of the sun, for the Lord God will give them light, and they will reign forever and ever." This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. The next song is on the little insert sheet that you have. "My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness." We stand to sing.
Jesus' love and righteousness, I dare not
Remain standing for the gospel reading. So hear the gospel of our Lord according to John chapter 14, beginning to read at verse 23. Glory to you, O Lord. Jesus replied, "Anyone who loves me will obey my teaching. My Father will love them, and we will come to them and make our home with them. Anyone who does not love me will not obey my teaching. These words you hear are not my own. They belong to the Father who sent me. All this I have spoken while I'm still with you. But the Advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and will remind you of everything I have said to you. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give you. I do not give to you as the world gives. So do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not be afraid. You heard me say, 'I'm going away and I'm coming back to you.' If you loved me, you would be glad that I'm going to the Father, for the Father is greater than I. I've told you now before it happens, so that when it does happen, you will believe." This is the gospel of the Lord.
Glory to you,
O Lord. Gracious Father, would you open our hearts to your word and your word to our hearts. In Jesus' name, amen. Please do be seated. So Jesus tells his disciples, do not be afraid. Now, which is in one sense a bit odd because there are a lot of things in this world to be afraid of. But do not be afraid, the most common single phrase in the Bible, 365 times. So there's one for every single day of the year. Of course, the problem with saying do not be afraid is it does mean there's something to be afraid of. It's a bit like Jonesy in Dad's Army saying, don't panic, don't panic. So don't be afraid. What's it about? How do you balance that with the things in this world that we are afraid of, because it happens. So I want to talk about that thing about fear in three types of people. Firstly, the message of do not be afraid to the persecuted church around the world. Those people who do indeed have something to fear. Jesus promised his disciples a number of times that they would be persecuted, tortured, and killed. Now, it's reasonable to be afraid of that, to be honest. And we have the example, which I find really helpful. Jesus, in the Garden of Gethsemane, on the night before his crucifixion, it says Jesus kneels down by a stone and he prays, "Let this cup pass from me." He was in anguish, it tells us, and his sweat was like drops of blood falling on the ground. He knew what was facing him the next day. And he needed courage for that. And that was his prayer. So he was afraid of what was going to happen, quite rightly so, the next day. So how do you reconcile with that? With that thing of don't be afraid. So the promise to us as Christians, there's nothing to fear in this world. And of course, the danger is that, well, it'll be all right when we get to the reading from Revelation when we're in heaven. There'll be nothing to fear because we'll be with God, we'll be in paradise. And that's not a problem. The problem is tomorrow morning, you get the results of some test or something like that. And actually, those things we're afraid of. And of course, if there was genuinely nothing to fear in this world, then our task of evangelism would be made so much easier. Because we could say, become a Christian and you won't get sick. Your house won't get burgled. You won't ever stub your toe or trip over anything. Your children will never have any problems. Parking spots will appear wherever you go. The traffic will part before you like the Red Sea before Moses. The traffic lights will all turn to green as you arrive there. And that would be good news. And I can tell you, the church will be full next Sunday if that was the message, just on the parking spots alone. So It's something different. It's something different to that, because as Christians we do suffer in this world, all that kind of stuff. Very few of the disciples, for instance, died peacefully in their beds. So they heard the words from Jesus saying, don't be afraid. But actually, very few of them actually died peacefully in their beds. Of course, Christians around the world. It turns out that our brothers and sisters today around this world are being persecuted. Today, 80% of the people who are persecuted for their faith in the world today are Christians. That equates to something like 250 million Christians being actively persecuted. Doesn't mean they're just being ignored, being actively persecuted. That's imprisonment, torture, losing your job, being forced to leave your family, forced out of your village or your area. So those people, yeah, they have something to be afraid of. Secondly, the second type of people who have fear are those who live in fear because life has been hard to them. Maybe they live in a good country like England, so there's nothing to fear from the government or the police. But actually, fear is in their hearts, because from the youngest age, they have in some way been let down, abused, and left alone, all that kind of stuff. And that's left within them a fear in the very depths of their souls. And for some, for whom courage might simply be the waking up tomorrow morning to face a new day. And no more than that. To those people, Jesus speaks of a confidence in him. With everything else in the world, you may be unsure of and uncertain of, but not with God. He is trustworthy and true. God knows you just as you are, and he loves you just as you are. That's the peace that he offers you, the confidence, the courage, not to be afraid. He is a rock, the most important thing in our world. In fact, the most important thing in the universe. And of course, to those who are suffering like that, he deals gently with them to assure them of his love, because he knows what it is to face the abyss, to face darkness and being abandoned and lost and lonely and tortured and on your own, all that stuff that those people face every day. Actually, he's been there, done that. Third group. And that's most of us, commands us not to be afraid, actually because he has work for us to do. And we are not to be afraid to do that work. Reminded of Job, Satan challenges God and says to God, see your servant Job, he blesses you only because he's comfortable. He's wealthy and well off and all that kind of stuff, lives in a nice house with lots of family. And Satan says to God, but if you strike him with sickness and poverty, then you'll see that Job will curse you to your face. In other words, he's only being good to you because he's happy. If you strike him, he'll curse you to his face. And of course, God does allow Satan to attack Job, and he's afflicted with much worse. He's also afflicted with three friends, if you know the story. And he doesn't curse God, because his confidence, his courage, is in God and not in the stuff that's around him. Just want to, a story of mine, and I'm sorry, you will have heard this before. A couple of years ago, I went on retreat up to the Lake District, to a little campsite in Patterdale. It's a little piece of paradise here on earth. I'm not going to tell you where it is, apart from Patterdale, so you don't go there. Okay. And I just got up there for the inside of a week, just to be quiet, to read and rest and walk and just take in stuff. I was going to digress there for a second. But I arrived there on the Sunday evening, left on Sunday afternoon, in a storm. It was a big storm, and my tent was flapping away, and it was even being blown flat. So you're inside this thing as it kind of comes down and then springs up again. It was crazy. Even sitting in the car to read, the car was rocking with the wind. So that was on the Sunday, Monday, Tuesday. On the Wednesday, I went up to the campsite office and said to them, when is this going to pass and get any better? And the lady in the desk said, actually, it's going to get worse. So I you go, Lord, I just come here for a retreat. So I thought, I know. And visions of my warm, comfortable bed in the vicarage sort of flickered before my eyes. And I thought, I know, I'll go back to the tent, I'll pack up, and by this evening, I'll be home and have my nice, warm, comfortable bed. And I thought, oh joy, because I hadn't slept much for 3 days. So I go back to my tent and I cooked my lunch, and while it was cooking, I looked up the day's reading. And I kid you not, the lectionary reading for that day was about Jesus out in the boat, rowing across the lake with the disciples, and a storm comes. And I actually said to God, no, I want to go home. I am here in the storm, and I want to go home. And God says, no, actually, I've got something else for you this week. I went, can I go home? He said, no, just stick it out, Mike. He had a different lesson for me that week. So what he was saying to me that week, and it also tied in with another book that I was reading, was actually a bit like Job. How do you find peace in the storm? What happens? How do you find peace when the storm doesn't stop? When the storms of life just carry on? Things don't get better. God doesn't seem to answer your prayers. The people do get sick and die, and all this bad stuff that happens. And actually then, how are you supposed to find peace in that? Anyway, so I stayed in my tent. It'd be very nice of you to say that this warm flood of peace flooded. Well, it didn't, of course. But actually, because I was there to go through the storm. So with the disciples on the lake, they were there because Jesus had told them to be on the lake. And he knew what was going on. So he goes asleep in the back of the boat, and they're left rowing in the middle of the night, thinking they're going to drown. So one's hope for retreat is warm, balmy weather, beautiful walks, a peaceful countryside, a beautiful campsite, a numinous sense of health and well-being, and God's presence. So when God takes that away from you, what's left? Ouch. So there's nothing wrong with praying that the Lord will protect us from harm. The Lord's Prayer indeed says, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. It's right to pray for our families, our loved ones, for protection and all the rest. However, I think as I was just working through this and say, how do you balance that thing between saying, do not be afraid? And I think that the do not be afraid is because God's got work for us to do, and the greater prayer is for faithfulness, that the Lord would make us faithful to follow obediently wherever he leads, whenever and to whomever the Lord sends you. Because it's in obedience that we follow God, and that is indeed the only safe place to be, even when the Lord leads us through the storms. Just reminded of Jackie Pullinger. She worked in the Hidden City in Hong Kong with the drug addicts, and she said this. She said that we're to have hard feet and soft hearts. Of course, so much of the church seems to have soft feet and hard hearts. In other words, that we're not keen to venture into the difficult places. We have soft feet, and we go, well, it'll be painful if I go there. And actually, our hearts are quite hard. And of course, what the Lord wants to do is give us harder feet to lead us into places and softer hearts, so that when we go to those places, it will get to us and we will genuinely be hurt by it, because God is hurt by it. To interfere in people's lives, to get involved. They will tell you to get lost if they think you're going too far, but you may be surprised, because sometimes when you ask someone, you get involved in their lives, and it's painful because awful things are going on. Actually, you'll get quite a long way before they tell you to get lost, a surprisingly long way. And the danger for you, for us, for me, is that your heart will break if you do that, because their heart breaks, and because God's heart breaks for them. So we're to have soft hearts. It takes courage to do that, but we're not supposed to be afraid of it. Because courage is not the absence of fear. Courage is carrying on in the presence of fear. That's what Jesus had in the Garden of Gethsemane. He says, "Father, let this cup pass from me, but your will be done, not mine." So knowing in your head that God will bring you through this, even when your heart fears otherwise. And of course, Joshua, Joshua chapter 1 verse 9 is a great thing. God's led the people of Israel out of Egypt, and it's been the Old Testament readings in the lectionary the last couple of weeks. God leads the people out of Israel. Moses has died. Joshua is there to take the people on. And God says to Joshua, "Be bold and be strong, for the Lord your God is with you." That's what he needed. And those two things connected, God is with you, so you can be bold and you can be strong. Because God knew that he needed courage to do what he was going to do, what he needed to do. And of course, there are times in our Christian life when we will be afraid. But that means that we are pushing the boundaries of our faith. And it's in those moments sometimes when we trust God the most, because we're afraid. And sometimes God will allow that to happen. And I think also, it's okay to be afraid, but not to fear. So be afraid is a more intellectual thing. Fear is something which becomes a part of us. And we're not to be fearful people. But if you're standing on the edge of a precipice, on a cliff, it's right to be afraid of that. Okay, that's a good thing to be afraid at that point. Sometimes the path he takes us leads us through the storm. And tough tests are a sign of God's confidence in you. Therefore, before you ask for a life of peace and calm, as I did up in the Lake District, perhaps ask the Lord for a life of service and sacrifice. Every day, "Lord, how can I serve you in some specific way this day?" And then ask God to give you the courage to do it. Because we know that he is faithful and he is true. And the only way, the only safe place, is to be doing his work in his way at his time. And now Jean's going to lead us in our intercessions. Let us pray.
Let us pray. We thank you, Father, the end result of the Holy Spirit's work in our lives is deep and lasting peace. With Christ's peace, we have courage and no need to fear the present or the future if we accept that peace from him. We invite you, Holy Spirit, to fill us with Christ's peace and keep us spiritually hydrated. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. God of all hope, we thank you that when we will have eternal life, because of what Jesus the Lamb has done for us. We know that when we pass from this life, we will be secure in your loving embrace, where there will be no more sin, evil, fear, or darkness, only light. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Lord, we pray for all that has been in the news this last week, for the shortage of wheat possibly creating world hunger, the women of Afghanistan having to hide their schooling, the court cases of self-indulgent, for the threat of nuclear war, price rises for food, petrol and goods, and those having to decide whether to eat or pay their bills, our politicians, and the floods and storms of recent days. And of course, Ukraine, where we pray there will be peace and regrowth. Lord, all we can do is to hand all of these over to you. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We pray for continued health of our Queen as she enjoys her Platinum Jubilee celebrations, for truth and trust from our government, for strength for our ministry team. We pray today for your blessing to be on our congregation, upon our church, and upon our community here in Tyler's Green. We now pray for all those on our notice sheet, for Steve Taylor following his operation, and continued prayers for him and Debbie. Paul and Jean Rickett's daughter-in-law, Amanda, who is currently undergoing chemotherapy for stage 4 cancer. The family and friends of Steve Sidofin following their loss. Sylvia Harris in Stoke Mandeville Hospital following a fall. And Neil and Dale Lace and Alice Carey as their marriage is blessed at Holy Trinity on the 28th of May at 1 p.m. And we give thanks and we take a moment in silence to bring those known only to us who need our prayers at this time. And we give thanks for Mike's ministry here in Tyler's Green and Penn and ask for peace and happiness as he and Ali begin a new chapter in their lives. Watch over them, Lord. Lord, in your mercy. We thank you, Father, for the lives of loved ones and friends who have passed from this life in recent years, and we have hope and comfort knowing they are with you and that one day we shall all meet again. Merciful Father, accept these prayers for the sake of your Son, our Saviour, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Jean, thank you. And we turn on page 3 of our service booklets to the Creed, and we stand to affirm together our faith. We believe. We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is, seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord, Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us and for our salvation, he came down from heaven, was incarnate from the Holy Spirit and the Virgin Mary, and was made man. For our sake he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day, he rose again in accordance with the scriptures. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son is worshipped and glorified, who has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy, Catholic and apostolic church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. God gives us his peace, not as the world gives, but this is a godly kind of peace. So the peace of the Lord be always with you.
And also with you.
So we offer another, a godly wave of peace. And our next hymn, number 1187, Before the Throne of God Above, number 1187. Follow our service on page 10 of our service booklets with the third of the Eucharistic prayers, page 10. The Lord is here.
His Spirit.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give you thanks and praise.
So we sit or kneel to pray. Let us pray. For you are worthy of our thanks and praise, Lord God of truth, for by the breath of your mouth you have spoken your word, and all things have come into being. You fashioned us in your image, and placed us in the garden of your delight. Though we chose the path of rebellion, you would not abandon your own. Again and again, you drew us into your covenant of grace. You gave your people the law and taught us by your prophets to look for your reign of justice, mercy, and peace. As we watch for the signs of your kingdom on earth, we echo the song of the angels in heaven, evermore praising you and saying, Holy, 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 God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. Lord God, you are the most holy one, enthroned in splendor and light. Yet in the coming of your Son, Jesus Christ, you revealed the power of your love, made perfect in our human weakness. Embracing our humanity, Jesus showed us the way of salvation. Loving us to the end, he gave himself to death for us. Dying for his own, he set us free from the bonds of sin, that we might rise and reign with him in glory. On the night he gave up himself for us all, he took bread and gave you thanks. He broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take, eat, this is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, after supper, he took the cup, gave you thanks. He gave it to them, saying, "Drink this, all of you. This is my cup of the new covenant, which is shed for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this, as often as you drink it, in remembrance of me." Therefore, we proclaim his death, the death that he suffered on the cross. We celebrate his resurrection, his bursting from the tomb. We rejoice that he reigns at your right hand on high, and we long for his coming in glory. As we recall the one perfect sacrifice of our redemption, Father, by your Holy Spirit, let these gifts of your creation be to us the body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ. Form us into the likeness of Christ and make us a perfect offering in your sight. Look with favor upon your people, and in your mercy hear the cry of our hearts. Bless the earth, heal the sick, let the oppressed go free, and fill your church with power from on high. Gather your people from the ends of the earth to feast with all your saints at the table in your kingdom, where the new creation is brought to perfection in Jesus Christ our Lord, by whom and with whom and in whom, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, with all honor and glory be yours, Almighty Father, for ever and ever. Amen. On page 17, we say with confidence the prayer that our Savior himself taught us. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. We break this bread to share in the body of Christ. Though we are many, we are one body, because we all share in one bread. Jesus, Lamb of God, have mercy on us. Jesus, bearer of our sins, have mercy on us. Jesus, Redeemer of our world, grant us peace. So draw near with faith. Receive the body of our Lord Jesus Christ, which he gave you, and his blood, which he shed for you. Eat and drink in remembrance that he died for you, and feed on him in your hearts by faith with thanksgiving. So we say together the prayer on the top of page 18, the prayer after communion. Father of all, we give you thanks and praise that when we were still far off, you met us in your Son and brought us home. Dying and living, he declared your love, gave us grace, and opened the gate of glory. May we who share Christ's body live his risen life. We who drink his cup bring life to others. We whom the Spirit lights give light to the world. Keep us firm in the hope you have set before us, so we and all your children shall be free, and the whole earth live to praise your name. Through Christ our Lord. Amen. And our offertory hymn number 77, Crown Him with Many Crowns, number 77. We have a photograph just now outside the church, and then do join us for tea and coffee in the hall afterwards. So do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your heart and your minds in Christ Jesus. And the blessing of God Almighty, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, be among you and remain with you always. Amen. Amen. So go in peace to love and to serve the Lord.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.